Now to our weekly political chat. This presidential campaign has opened up many conversations about race, about ethnicity, gender, and more recently about the generational divide. Few people have experienced those conversations the way our next guest has, Jesse Jackson Jr. He's a Democrat representing Illinois' 2nd District in Congress and a strong supporter of Barack Obama. He's also the son of civil rights leader Reverend Jesse Jackson, whose recent critical remarks about Obama made national headlines. He joined me from the House of Representatives. We talked about Obama, his father's remarks, and a new poll from the Pew Hispanic Center that shows Obama with a substantial lead among Hispanic voters over John McCain. Jackson said that Obama drew some valuable lessons from another Chicago leader.
I watched in 1983 as former Congressman Harold Washington, a role model for Senator Barack Obama and ultimately the mayor, our first African-American mayor of the city of Chicago, built an extraordinary coalition of African-Americans and Latinos, real, genuine power sharing. And Harold took great risks by reaching out to build a broader coalition, even and oftentimes under great criticism from African-American leaders who argued that Harold should be the first African-American, as if Harold could win a city as broad and a metropolitan area the size of Chicago with black votes alone. And he said, no, I want to be the mayor for all of the city of Chicago, just as Barack Obama has suggested and said that he wants to be the president of the United States for all Americans and not just some Americans. And I think that Barack, coming out of that lineage, has built an extraordinary coalition, and it makes sense.
I have to ask you about what may be a sensitive issue. One of the other fissures that has been discussed, or real or imagined, has been a generational one, the sense that Senator Obama's candidacy represents a move away from the politics and the tactics of a previous generation of African-American leaders, including your father, Reverend Jesse Jackson, Sr. Now, of course, the comments that he made that were not meant to be publicized but eventually were some crude remarks about saying he'd like to, you know, what he'd like to do to Senator Obama. But the substance of his criticism was that Senator Obama has moved away from core concerns of African Americans. You know, what do you make of all that?
Well, I think that Barack Obama's candidacy, Michelle, represents a fulfillment of the expectations, the dreams, the hopes of millions of African Americans for many, many generations. But broader than just our hopes, dreams, and expectations, I think that Barack Obama's candidacy represents the fulfillment of expectations and hopes for millions of Americans that have been drawn to a very magnetic personality and a extraordinary message of hope, redemption, rebuilding the infrastructure of our country, and reestablishing who we are as Americans in the world. When I think about August 28, 2008, when Barack Obama will emerge on that platform to accept the party's nomination for President of the United States, represents not only growth for who we were as Americans, who we are as Americans, and who ultimately we will become. When I also think—
But you can be proud of somebody and not agree with them. You can be very proud of somebody and still think they're wrong. So the question I have for you is, do you think that, A, there is this generation gap, and do you think that that any significant number of the people of your dad's generation think that Barack Obama is just wrong about some things, his emphasis, his tactics, his style?
I think Barack is absolutely right on the question of personal responsibility in our community. I think Barack is absolutely correct in suggesting that men must assume more responsibility for the babies that they make. And who better to say that than the next president of the United States? I think Reverend Jackson is wrong on those questions. I think there are other leaders who identify with Reverend Jackson's point of view. But in a civil discourse, we can agree to disagree and move on and move forward. I think that Reverend Jackson's comments, which you alluded to, were unfortunate. They represented terrible judgment. He's been broadly criticized by it, and I hope that the American people will find room in their hearts to forgive him and ultimately move on. But I want to make something, this point, very, very clear, that we were one America that wasn't as inclusive as the America that we are experiencing on July 4th, 1776. It locked out African Americans and it locked out women, structurally. By July 4th, 1852, Frederick Douglass was commenting on what kind of holiday is July 4th when millions of people found themselves in a position of chattel slavery. By July 4th, 2007, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were locked in a campaign for the nomination of the Democratic Party. By 2008, on July 4th, Barack Obama was its presumptive nominee. And I believe on July 4th, 2009, he will be the 44th president of the United States. And that suggests, Michelle, that the nation we were is not the nation that we are or the nation that we will become. But because of this campaign of hope and the involvement and engagement of the American people, something extraordinary is happening.
Congressman Jackson, I asked Governor David Patterson this last week after he spoke to the NAACP convention. I'd like to ask you this. Do you feel that, particularly as a second generation or the latter generation, new generation, post-civil rights generation leader, if you will, that in some ways you have to calibrate your relationship with the African-American community in a way that perhaps an earlier generation did not, that you have to go farther to prove that you're inclusive and not too favorably disposed toward blacks? Do you know what I mean? Do you feel that?
You know, there is a shift in our community, I believe, from the prophetic voices of the past to the elected, accountable voices, where even members within our own community desire to have some say in the decisions made by their leadership for the issues that they stand on. And so some might argue, well, Barack Obama should speak more to issues that affect African Americans. Well, gas prices affect African Americans, too. And there's a language that allows a Barack Obama or a David Patterson or Deval Patrick to communicate to all New Yorkers, to all Massachusetts residents, to all Americans, and speak to their genuine economic concerns and not be talking down or up to anyone, but basically be speaking with the American people about how to work our way out of this problem.
I wanted to ask you briefly about Senator John McCain. He, unlike President Bush, made a point of going to the NAACP convention. He's not at this convention, which is quite disappointing to many people here who would like to see him. But is there anything you think that John McCain could say to the African-American community, to the African-American Latino communities, to persuade them to give him another look? And I have to point out that the recent Pew poll, despite all the conversation about Senator Obama's perhaps limited appeal to Latinos, shows that Latino voters are favoring him by a very wide margin at this point in time. But what do you think? Is there something that John McCain could say to get a fresh look from these communities?
Well, he could have started by coming to the Unity Conference, since so many members of the African American and minority community have representatives at this conference who then communicate his message to their core constituencies. I think it's a profound mistake by John McCain by not being there. I'm glad Barack Obama will be there. But I think it's also important to recognize that John McCain cannot run from his career in the United States Senate and his record on critical issues that profoundly impact these communities. And it's very difficult for John McCain to run from that past.
Finally, before I let you go, what's the one thing I need to do before I leave Chicago, especially in your district?
Well, there's a great Polish sausage joint right off of the Kennedy Expressway on Maxwell Street. Now, it's a little bit outside my district, but get yourself a couple of cases of Pepto-Bismol and get you a Maxwell Street Polish with onions, extra onions on it.
A lot of mustard. I'm going to say Congressman Jackson sent me.
Good luck, Michelle.
All right.
I'll send you flowers and whatever else you need to your hospital on your brief stay.
Okay. Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. represents Illinois' 2nd District in Congress. He joined me from the studio at the House of Representatives. Congressman Jackson, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle, for having me.